now for the truth, all right? How many of you play it or have played it? Okay, only a few people we need to pray for this morning. I'm just kidding. I am just kidding. Jack's going to cut the camera off. There goes the live stream. I am gone. Well, hey, I'm glad you guys have heard of it because I'm going to kind of use it as a springboard for us to begin this morning. And this game has actually only been out a month. It came out a month ago yesterday. Seems like it's been out a lot longer than that. And just in the month that it has been out, let me share some stats with you. It was the fastest game to ever reach the top of the App Store and Google Play. Within its first week of release, within the first week, it became the most downloaded app of all time. That's pretty crazy. And by July 12th, just 6 days into its release, it became the most mobile app game ever in the United States with 21 million active users that was beating Candy Crush Saga, who had 20 million users. And I know there's some Candy Crush people. I already see y'all laughing and smiling. I'm sorry you got beat by Pokemon. But as of last weekend, July 31st, it reached 100 million downloads worldwide. That's pretty crazy. Now, there's a lot of people in here who've heard of the game who haven't played the game, so that tells me you've heard of the game because you've been hearing about it on TV and you've heard news reports about it, and a lot of those news reports haven't been very positive. There's been people who have got into trouble and they've done all types of crazy and weird stuff while they were playing this game. Now, let me give you a couple examples. There's a couple in Arizona, 27 and 25-year-old couple, who was arrested for domestic endangerment and child neglect after their 2-year-old toddler was found outside by a neighbor. They were arrested and admitted, the 27 and 25-year-old, that they had been out playing Pokemon Go for 90 minutes while they left their toddler at home. We need to pray for them, don't we? Then there were 3 teenage boys in Missouri who were charged with armed robbery because they were staking out locations where people were going to play the game. And because they're so into the game, they don't think about where they go or how dangerous the place might be where they go. And so these guys rob them at gunpoint and they're arrested for it because they're so into this that it's an easy thing for people to get robbed. Then there's a man in New Jersey who is suing the makers of Pokemon Go because they placed Pokemon on his property. And people are coming to his house trying to catch him and knocking on his door, y'all, and asking if they can go in his backyard to catch some Pokemon. Now, that's just crazy. Now, I'm not here this morning to say Pokemon a thumbs up or a thumbs down. That's not the purpose of the message. But I do want to use it as kind of a springboard for us to think about how Pokemon's a great example of one of those things that we can get so focused on and so zeroed in on that we forget about everything else. We forget about our responsibilities. People forget about where they are. They forget about their safety. There's been companies that have had to make rules for their jobs because people are playing this at the job, and people have just gone crazy with the focus that they have toward this game. Now, speaking of focus, I'm sure that some of you parents, over the last few days, as school has got started, and grandparents maybe too, you've sat down and had this conversation with your kids. All right, school's starting back. It's time to get focused. Summer's over. It's time to listen to your teachers. Take good notes. Don't get in trouble. Pay attention. One of the things we've told our kids for years is when you go to class, find a seat up front. If you don't have assigned seat, sit in the front row, because studies show if you sit in the front, you do better. Our teachers, are you nodding your head with me? Because that is true. Kids who sit in the front do better. Why? Because there's less distractions and they can really focus and pay attention to what's going on. We send our kids and our grandkids to school because we want them to learn, right? We want them to mature. We want them to grow. We spend that money to send them to college so they'll learn more and get more knowledge and more experience for everything they need for life. Now, the same is true for here. We come to church. We have good fellowship. We enjoy being together. If you were here last Sunday night, we had some good ice cream. Amen. And we enjoy being together to worship, and we enjoy feeling and experiencing the presence of God. But one of the reasons why we have church here is so that we'll grow. Amen? I know Pastor's heart and Pastor Kevin's heart, and I know Josh's heart. Our hearts here is that when you come, through worship and small groups and Sunday school and through everything we do, Kid City Youth Movement, that you will grow in the knowledge of who Jesus is. You'll become closer to Jesus. And that was a prayer that the Apostle Paul had in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He said these words. He said, I want to know Him. Everybody remember when Paul said that? He said, I want to know Jesus as much as I possibly can. And when Paul would write and talk about knowing Jesus and his pursuit of Jesus and his knowledge of Jesus, he would use an illustration that's real familiar to us today. He would talk about that our pursuit of Jesus and our desire to follow Jesus and know Jesus is a lot like a race. Now, racing is really in right now. A few years ago, it wasn't. But now, you can see on people's cars, they've got 3.0 or 3K or 5K, or people wear tougher mudders. They do all these different things to push themselves to race because it's fun, because it helps them stay fit, because they just enjoy the opportunity to race. And right now, we're in the first weekend of the Olympics. Anybody watch the Olympics yet? Most of us will watch racing, we'll watch people race in a track meet, and we haven't watched it since 2012 when they were in London, was the last one, and that was the last time we watched racing, track and field. So racing is kind of big, and it's in our thoughts right now, and that was how Paul, very often in his writings, would set up to give this example of what it's like in our lives, in our pursuit of who God is. And I want to read a verse to you in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is probably maybe Paul's best example of the race that we're talking about. And this is what he says. He says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race, there it is, marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you'll not grow weary and lose heart. Now, just like our example of Pokemon Go, how people will get focused and fixed on this game and not let anything distract them. And just like we tell our kids and grandkids, go to school, stay focused, don't let anything distract you. Paul is using this example to say, hey, in life, we're to be pursuing God. And he uses these words, fix your eyes on Jesus and throw off everything that might hinder or hold you back and pursue Jesus with all you've got. And so as we head in to the new school year, this morning I'm going to use that as our springboard to talk to you for a few minutes on this subject. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Lord, thank you today for your presence. God, speak to us through your word. May your word find good soil in hearts today. And may you transform us by the power of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Chris, put our next character up there this morning. We've had some characters here today. Everybody remember that guy, right? What was the most famous line from Forrest Gump? It was three words. What? Run, Forrest, run. Let's say it, everybody together. Run, Forrest, run. One of my favorite scenes in Forrest Gump is when he's sitting on that porch, brand new white Nikes with the red checks on them, and he just stands up and takes off running. And he says in that scene, he says, that day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run. Do you remember that? And he said, I ran to the end of the driveway, and then I ran through the town, and then I ran through Greenbow County, Alabama, and then I decided I'd run across the great state of Alabama, and then he runs clear to the ocean and another ocean, and people stop him along the way, and they ask him, what are you running for? And he said, there's really no reason, for no particular reason. He says it, for no particular reason, I just kept running. Now, we're talking about a race this morning, and I want to tell you this. You guys know this is true, and nod when I say it if you know this is true. Do you know there's a lot of people in life who are running and running through life with no particular reason or purpose? You ever see anybody like that in your family or on your job? Or maybe you see people like that in school for no particular reason. They have no purpose. And this morning, as we talk about what it means to fix our eyes on Jesus, I'm going to give you five things that happen when we fix our eyes on Jesus. The first thing is what we just said. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, it gives purpose to your race. Forrest Gump said, I'm just out here running. There's no reason. I'm going. There's no purpose. But when you decide that you're going to follow Jesus and make Him number one in your life, it gives a purpose for your race. Now, I've heard people ask my whole life, and I've asked it to the Lord as well, and said something like, God, what's the purpose for my life? Why am I here? And if you're here today and you're asking that question, you showed up on a good Sunday, because I'm going to give you the answer. Jesus gave the answer in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Real simple. And He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's your purpose in life. Oh, come on, Les. It's deeper than that. No, it's two things. Your purpose in life is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And number two, to love your neighbor as yourself. Parents, look at me. Listen to me. As a parent, as a grandparent, one of the greatest things you can do, the greatest thing you can do for your kids is not to have them in a million different things and send them in a million different directions. And the greatest thing you can do for your kid is to instruct him in a way or her in a way that teaches them to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind and put Jesus number one. That's the best thing you can do for your kids. And then the second part, to love your neighbor as yourself. I got to thinking about that this week. And that kind of takes care of that purpose part. And the Lord showed me something just as I was thinking about this verse. I've never thought about it like this. Because we do ask that question, don't we? What's my purpose in life? These students down here in high school, they've already in high school, actually, when they make that transition from eighth grade to high school, you have to pick a track, don't you? They make you decide almost then, which direction am I going to go? And they start putting your classes in a way that they can lead you in the direction you want to go to college. We used to make that decision in college for our age, didn't we? But now, in high school, they start sending them on that way. And I believe that God created all of us with specific skills and abilities, don't you? That He wants to use those for His glory. And here's the thing I think happens. When we say, okay, my number one purpose in life is to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind, and my second is to love my neighbor as myself. When I find my purpose in life, if it's to be a teacher, a preacher, a nurse, if it's to work at Gulfstream, or Georgia Pacific, or whatever it is that I do in life, God wants to use my purpose in life to fulfill the second part of that great commandment. He wants me to love my neighbor as myself through the thing He created me to do. That's good preaching right there. Y'all awake? I know y'all were up to 3 o'clock, so I got my job cut out to keep y'all awake this morning. But that's good. And parents, as you teach your kids to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind and strength, you can teach them to love their neighbor as themselves as you help them discover who God created them to be. Amen? So fixing your eyes on Jesus, number one, it gives purpose to your race. Here's the second thing that it does. And to illustrate this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to fix your eyes on Jesus, okay? We're going to play this out. And I've got this picture right here of Jesus. Y'all remember that time in Matthew 4 when Jesus posed for the picture? Remember at Olin Mills down there in Galilee? This is that picture that they took. It's an artifact. I mean, it was in the Dead Sea Scrolls, right? Y'all know I'm messing. Okay, now here's your job this morning, all right? Everybody see this? Get where you can. Parents, get your kids to help. Get your kids to watch this because they'll like this part of the message. Then they can go back to playing Pokemon in the service, all right? Everybody fix your eyes right here on this picture. We're gonna play out what we're talking about this morning, all right? So everybody, wake up, fix your eyes on Jesus, and here's what's going to happen. As you fix your eyes on that picture, I'm going to read a scripture. Now, it's not going to be on the screen because I want your eyes right here. And as I read this scripture, your only job is to fix your eyes on Jesus and think about what I'm reading. Okay, everybody ready? Say, I'm ready. Now, here we go. I'm going to read from Matthew 14, It says, verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. But evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." I've been waiting for years to see David Long run the aisles. Praise the Lord. Jesus is here. All right. How many of you never, we're in church, y'all, so you can't lie. Or we don't need any more lightning strikes on the property, do we, Pastor? Hey, I got a voicemail. My wife was calling me. How many of you honestly did not take your eyes off that picture the whole time I was reading that story? Raise your hands. I got you. Not anybody. Everybody got distracted. Our distractions work. This was the first distraction. You heard my phone go off. Okay, how many of you that got you? Let's just be honest. How many of you, wow, man, I'm telling you, we are a distracted society. All right, how many of you got distracted when David came? Now he juiced it up, man. That was it, wasn't it? And then I had Brad back there working in the lights. All those things happened. Now that's a lot like the story, because the story is real simple. We know it. They're out on the lake, and Jesus is out there, and they think he's a ghost. We learned this story. This is one of our big stories in VBS. Remember, everybody from VBS? And in the story, Peter cries out and says, "Lord, is it you? If it is, say, come on." And Jesus says, "Well, come on." And so the scripture says Peter stepped out of the boat and walked to Jesus. So, I mean, he got a little ways out there walking. He's focused on Jesus just like you were. And then all the distractions start, and Peter sees the wind and the wave, and he started to what? He started to sink. Now, here's the thing. Here's the second point of this message. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, it'll eliminate all distractions. Now, if we did that again, if you knew what was happening, everybody get 100 on the test, because you'd ignore David's crazy stuff and the lights and the phone. You would focus on Jesus. But think about what we did. I gave you specific instructions, didn't I? I said, I want you to look at this picture from the Dead Sea Scrolls of Jesus. I don't want you to take your eyes off of it. I'm going to read a story. Don't take your eyes off of this. I'm going to read a story. But nobody in the room passed the test because we had so many distractions going on around us. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is this like real life? How many of you come to church, you're like, "Lord, I'm focused on you. Boy, this school year, I'm going to live for Jesus like never before. I'm going to win everybody in my high school for the Lord." Or we come to church, we get fired up, we get filled up, and we go, "Man, I am focused on the Lord." And we get back into life, and what happens? David Long comes through our yard doing the Michael Jackson, whatever. There are distractions that come into our life, right? And there's things that happen, and they take our eyes off of what's going on. We have family problems. We have sicknesses. We have death. We have things in school for students. The list is a mile long of things that can take your attention off of Jesus while you're in school. You're trying to compete with your friends, and then you've got band, and you've got football, and you've got this activity, and you're trying to get that guy's attention, and you're trying to get that girl's attention. And then on the job, we've got everything that we have to do as adults. There's a million things out there, amen, to distract us from the things that Jesus wants us to focus on, which is Him. But look at this proverb. Man, the Proverbs are the best. I love the Proverbs, and this one is perfect for this morning. Proverbs 4, 25 through 27 says, "Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions." When I read that, I think about what it's like to go up to Springfield in October and go to the fair. And you go to the fair and you're thinking, man, I'm going to ride the Ferris wheel. And as soon as your feet hit the ground, you see those giant turkey legs. And then you see your kids are pulling you to ride on this. And then you see a raffle and there's a band playing. And there's all these distractions keeping you from the one thing you really want to do, which is ride the Ferris wheel. And there's one thing in life we as Christians really want to do, I hope and believe, and that's to fix our eyes on Jesus. But life throws a ton of distractions, amen, and keeps and gets our eyes off of what we're supposed to be focusing on. What things right now in your life, let's just stop and take an inventory. What things in your life right now, students, kids, adults, are keeping you from keeping your focus completely on Jesus? What's distracting you right now in your walk? Is it busyness of work? Is it too much on your plate for your kids? Is it a relationship? I think about, you know, I saw a cartoon a few years ago of two little girls on the playground. They both had their planners open. And one of them said to the other, "When can we schedule some time to play?" And the other little girl said, "Well, I think I've got open next Thursday at 5 o'clock. Parents, I want to talk to you for just a second. I want you to think about how we as parents sometimes try to fill our kids' schedules with everything we possibly can. We want our kids to do everything. And sometimes they wind up not doing anything well because we've got too much on their plate. And I'm going to tell you something. If your kids are, if your family, I'm going to get behind this in just a second after I say this. If you're too busy, if your life is too busy to bring your kids to church, you're too busy. Sorry, you are. You're too busy. You got too much going on. And we do it. We fall for the American dream that says we're supposed to do everything there is out there for our kids. Just because you pour a bunch of stuff on your kids and you want your kids to do a million things isn't going to make them better. Put Jesus first. Show them the purpose for their life. And then fill in all those things that they want to do and the things that they can. I'm not saying your kids shouldn't do activities. Lord knows my kids do a ton of things. But it's about keeping what's first first. Psalms 119:37 says this, "Turn my eyes from worthless things and preserve my life according to your word." I read that and I think, God, that's what I need to pray every day. Lord, turn my eyes from worthless things and preserve my life according to your word. So when we fix our eyes on Jesus, it gives purpose to our race and it eliminates distractions to our race. Now, here's something else that happens when I fix my eyes on Jesus. Chris, come here. I want to help you. I want to help you. I want you to help me. All right. Let's pretend. Come here and stand right here, Chris. Let's pretend that I've told Chris that I am sending him on a journey and I'm giving him a backpack to take with him. And Chris, I'm going to send you on a journey, and this journey you're going to go on, there's one bad thing about it. The place I want you to go is covered, it's a minefield. It's covered with landmines everywhere, okay? But I think I've put stuff in here that'll help you as you go on this journey. So look in there, and let's see what's in there. You think you might need that on the journey? First aid kit? What else is in there? Think you might need a bottle of water? What else you got in there? Peanuts? We need protein for a journey, right? Okay. And Cliff Bar, okay? Right? Okay, those things would help, okay? Are those things going to help you in your journey?
Probably.
But what if I told you, Chris, I have a map. And this map details this journey I want you to go on. It has every landmine. I told you about the landmines, right? Okay. This map has got a detailed list of where every landmine is. Now, besides landmines, there's also sand traps out there. There's sinkholes. There's all types of other dangerous traps. There's some deadly plants out there. There's some deadly animals out there. But this map, if you'll follow it, it will show you where all those are. Now, Chris, would you be interested in taking this map and adding it to everything else?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if I gave you this map, what do you think you would do with it? Would you stuff it in your backpack and forget about it?
No.
How would you use it?
Having my hand looking at it as I'm walking through my field.
Okay. You would? Did you hear that? He's going to have it. He's going to use it. Now, would you just kind of occasionally look at it as you went through the minefield?
No. Probably have my eyes like right on there.
Okay. Would you go pretty carefully through that minefield?
Yes.
Because I mean, we've got all kinds of stuff out there, okay? Do you see that? You see the idea? Now, let me state the obvious, okay? Wisdom is going to say, this guy is going to open this map. He's going to carefully look at every minefield spot that there is, every sinkhole that's on the map, every dangerous plant, and he's going to carefully go through this minefield because now he's got all the answers right here. And it would be foolish not to pay attention to this, okay? All right, Chris, that's it. I'm not going to make you go on a minefield, okay? You're going to high school tomorrow. That's enough, all right? And you know the point I'm going to make, right? God's given us a map. Here it is. It's His Word. And this Word will help you to know where every minefield is, where every trap is, where every day... Oh, come on, help me. I'm about to preach now if y'all nod. All right, every minefield, every trap, every sinkhole, every quicksand, everything you need to know is right here if you'll use it. Now, sometimes we throw it in our backpack and we just kind of look at it if we think we got a minefield coming along. But this is the thing. This is the third part. If you fix your eyes on Jesus, here's the third thing. He'll provide a map for your race. And the map is His Word. Look what Psalms 119:105 says. Your word, literally, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If I use the word of God, it will show me where I need to go and what I need to do. Look at Proverbs 3:5-6. And we know this, we quote it often. But the very last part of that verse says, after we trust in the Lord, lean not on our own understanding, and we acknowledge Him, He shall what? Direct your path. If you use the word will direct your path. Now, this week when I was studying all that stuff about Pokemon Go, I found out something that kind of blew my mind. And it was that there is in Bosnia, you all remember in Bosnia in the 90s, the incredible, terrible war that went on there. They have warned Pokemon Go players in Bosnia to be careful where they go play Pokemon Go because they are literal minefields left from the Bosnian War in Bosnia. And I read that and I thought, wow, how about putting everything that we just talked about together? If we stay focused on the Word, God will provide for us the instruction that we need to know where all the minefields are. One of the greatest ways we can do that, and I know Pastor has said this for years, is we can use the Proverbs. How many Proverbs are they? Talk to me. There are how many? 31. And if you take one a day, you can read one proverb every day and it'll give you the wisdom you need for that day. Now today, did anybody happen to read Proverbs 7 today? Since it's August 7th. I read it this morning. You want to talk about a minefield example of a proverb? I'll just leave that right there and tell you to go read Proverbs 7 at some point. You know the one I'm talking about, don't you, Pastor? Proverbs 7, all right? Go check it out. Minefields like crazy, all right? So the map helps us to be able to know where we're going and what we're doing. Now, let me close this point with this thing, okay? I am sure there's a lot of people here this morning who have an incredible, devoted, devotional, quiet time life. I'm sure some of us hear this and you think, man, I can do a lot better. Well, I can't speak for everybody here. I don't live in your house, but I live in my house. And Trent, I'm going to ask him to come. And I hesitate to do this because I never want anybody to think I would use the platform God's blessed me with to elevate my family. But I believe that what I think Trent can share this morning can be helpful, at least our students. But I've watched his life for the past 6 years from middle school to high school. And this young man has a dedication to his devotion life like I've never seen before with anybody. And as I was studying this, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to let Trent take a minute or two, and you'll indulge me, because maybe your kid does this, but he don't live in my house. I know what he does, and I can testify to what he does. And so as we're talking about this, I'm just going to allow Trent take a second, and I want him to share with you what using God's word has meant in his life in middle school and high school.
Well, I'll start this off by saying when Dad asked me to do this, I was in line at Carowinds for the Afterburn roller coaster, and so hopefully that threw all my thoughts together as I was getting jostled and thrown around, as the students can testify to. But I guess for me, it all started in my middle school Sunday school class. Real seriously, we were challenged to do a year-long Bible reading course, where every single day we had a passage to read out of the Bible, and within a year we read through the entire Bible. And I think one of the biggest things that has helped me is that daily devotion to it. That day, I guess that's why it's called a devotion, because it is a daily devotion to it. If it is not daily, if you don't have a set thing to read day in and day out, then it's so easy to fall off, to forget, to push it aside. And even to this day, it's not something that comes extremely easy. It's easier once you get into it, but I still have to remind myself day in and day out to do it. And there's so many great things that have helped me to keep it a day-to-day thing, whether it's been a devotion book that Dad has bought me that has something for me to read every single day, or if you can download the Bible app on your phone, your tablet, that is so great. I use, they have Bible reading plans on there of all sorts. They have for all year. They have them for a week, a few days, and so that is great. And so just picking up one of those for just a day is great. And the one other thing I wanted to say was, over our missions trip at the beginning of this summer that we called Seek Week, we went to a sunrise service that we just went to on the beach, and we were out there at 4:30, 5 o'clock a.m., and Miss Heather talked to us about getting up early and giving him your best in the morning, and putting time aside in the morning, maybe not for your quiet time for the day, but to start off your day with Jesus, to not plug in your phone next to your bed where it's the first thing you pick up and see, but to put it somewhere else, and to have your Bible be the first thing you look at in the morning, and your prayer time to be the first thing in the morning. And that has been pretty huge for me ever since Seek Week. That's been something that I'm definitely not perfect at, because I love to sleep in, but I'm getting better at, and that has really helped me a lot too.
So, fixing our eyes on Jesus gives purpose to our race, eliminates distractions, provides a map for our race. Here's the next thing, and I know it's running late, so I'm going to buzz through these last two as quickly as I can. You know, as human beings, we always seem to find ourselves comparing ourselves to somebody else. We're always looking at the person beside us, or person we work with, or somebody in our family, or somebody we go to school with, and we compare ourselves with everybody else, don't we? This has been going on forever. There's a story in Scripture in John chapter 21, when Jesus has just spent time with Peter, and he's told Peter that he's restoring him back to ministry, and that whole conversation about, do you love me, feed my lambs, do you love me, feed my sheep, that back and forth. And the Bible says that as they're finishing up that conversation, they're walking down the beach, and Jesus and Peter are having this real intimate conversation, and John's walking right behind them. And Jesus looks at, Peter looks at Jesus, and he says, Lord, what about him? Y'all remember that? And Jesus says, well, if I want him to live until I come back, what's that to you? You follow me. Now, I read that and I thought, boy, that was like, boom. Jesus just said, look, what's he to you? You need to follow me. Don't worry about what he's doing, okay? And isn't it funny that Peter's just had this incredible moment with Jesus? I mean, John didn't get that moment. Jesus got this incredible moment with Peter. They've enjoyed this moment, but still human nature of Peter's like, well, what about him? You going to keep him around a while? And Jesus is like, don't worry about him. You follow me. Now, here's what we do in life. And boy, I'm guilty of this, and I think we all are, because it's human nature. And I'm going to talk in the direction of the students right here for a second. Because here's what we'll do. In middle school and high school, especially in college, we'll look around at somebody else and we'll say, man, they're prettier than I am. They're smarter than I am. They're more athletic, more talented. They have more friends. They have more boyfriends. They have more girlfriends. They just got it all going on, and we feel little about ourselves. We feel like we're not as good as them, don't we? But you know what always makes us feel better when we make that comparison? You know what I'm going to say, don't you? You find somebody over here. Well, I ain't as ugly as they are. Well, I know I got more friends than they do. Nobody sits with them at lunch. Well, I know I'm in a few more events than they are. I know that I'm in a few more activities than they are. And we wind up in this comparison. And so since we don't feel good about ourselves compared to the people we feel like are above us, we find somebody who's below us, and we find ourselves. Anybody ever, teenagers, can I get an amen over there? You ever do that? You ever feel, adults, do we keep doing this too? We do it on our job. Now here's the thing, okay? We used to just do this at job and at our work, job and work, same thing. We used to just do it at maybe out in the community, or we do it at school. But now, with this little wonderful invention, we can do it 24/7. We sit in the bed. We sit in our lounge chair. We sit on the back deck. And we do this all the time, don't we? We compare ourselves. Well, my vacation wasn't as good as theirs. Well, I'm not enjoying what they're enjoying. Well, I don't have the kind of house they do. Well, at least I ain't doing that. Well, at least I didn't put that on Facebook. I mean, we do it, don't we? Those of you who are free from Facebook, don't ever get on there, okay? It will enslave your soul. But social media does that to us. But it's just a natural part of what we are. God made us somehow that we're always looking at everybody else. But think about what Jesus said to Peter. He said, don't worry about him. You follow me. And that's what I want to say to you this morning. The fourth thing, when you focus your eyes on Jesus, it keeps your eyes off everybody else. When you focus on him and what he has for you, it eliminates all those distractions, yes. But the further step is that it helps us to not compare ourselves to everybody else. Because when I look at Jesus, he'll show me who I'm supposed to be. He will lift up in my life who he created me to be. Jesus will remind me what he said about me in Psalms 139, that I was created in my mother's womb, and before I was even born, there's a book that describes all my days. When I turn to Jesus, he'll remind me of Jeremiah 29:11, that he has plans for me to prosper me and not to harm me, but to give me a hope and a future. When I keep my eyes on Jesus, Jesus will help me to push aside all the comparisons that I make and just focus on what he has for my life. And I want to encourage all of us today to remember that. Whenever we start doing that, remember what Jesus said to Peter. He said, I ain't worried about him. You follow me. Now, we're wrapping it up. And Renee, if you wouldn't mind, please come and play as we finish up here. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, it gives purpose to your race. It eliminates distractions during your race. It provides a map for your race that you're going to use. Right, Chris? And it keeps your eyes off of others. Now, here's the last point I want to make. If you're going to go, let's say you're going to go on a cruise. I talked to somebody this morning who went on a cruise just a few weeks ago. And you find out your friend goes on a cruise, you're going to find out about how that cruise was, won't you? When Kroger opened a few weeks ago, some of you probably asked somebody, how's the Kroger doing before you went over there? If a new hair salon opens, you'll ask somebody, well, how's that hair salon? Do they cut hair good? the new restaurant opens in town, you'll say, well, how is the Tin Fin? Before we go and try out the new place, I want to know how was it before I go over there. We ask people how products are and events are and vacations are because we want to know the product before we try it out. Now, this verse that we read this morning from Hebrews chapter 12, there's a little key in there that I think really sums it all up, at least for me, and I hope it'll kind of sum it up for you this morning. The scripture says, in the NIV it says, Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The old King James used to say, the author and finisher of our faith. Remember that? It means he's the one who started it, and he's the one who finished it. But the message, you know, the message has this way sometimes just to open it up in a way you never thought about it. And I want to close by looking at this verse in Hebrews chapter 12, what the message says. Look at this on the screen. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself weakened in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through, and that will shoot adrenaline into your soul. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, the last thing that it does is it focuses your eyes on the finisher. Last night I was watching the Olympics. There was this girl from Hungary who shattered the swimming meet, world record, just shattered it. And as the race is going, the camera's focusing on two things. It's focusing on her as she's swimming, and it's focusing on her husband who was her coach. And when it was all over, they didn't go and interview all the other people. They focused on one person, that girl from Hungary who had shattered that record because she finished the race. Now, I love what this verse says because it tells us how and why we can fix our eyes on Jesus. Because he finished the race. Because he got in our swimming pool. He swam in our place. He ran in our place. He put on your skin and my skin. He became us. And if there's any reason that we can trust him, it is because he is the author, the pioneer, the one who started it from Genesis 1 and the one who stepped down in it and lived it in John 1 and at the end of Revelation, the one who's going to finish it all. He is the author and finisher and perfecter of my faith. So when you feel overwhelmed and fatigued and weakened and I can't quite make it through this race, I can't live for Jesus in high school, I can't do it, everybody else is doing everything else, I'm wearing out, the scripture says, fix your eyes on Jesus who stepped in and became you, and that assures that you can complete the race. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together this morning. As you're standing, I'm going to ask all of our children and our teenagers to come this morning and our college students. And as they come out, I want their parents to come and stand behind them. Okay? We're going to finish this morning in prayer. Pastor, if you'll come up. And what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to pray over our students, our kids, our college students. And pastor's going to pray this morning over our parents and our teachers and our administrators and our leaders. Come on up real close. Come on. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Parents, get behind your kids. Keep coming. Keep coming. Now, I want everybody else, if you are a teacher or an administrator or a bus driver or personnel in our school, if you work in the school system, I want to ask you to come too, right behind them, okay? And we got a bunch of folks. We're blessed here to have a lot of people who work in our school system. And this is how we're going to close this morning. I want to pray over you students and kids today, what we've talked about today. I want to pray over you the things that we've shared. And as we pray over these things, if there's one of these things that the Lord maybe spoke to you about as we were talking this morning, I want to ask you just to kind of hang on to that and ask the Lord to really firm that up in your heart and your life today. Whatever the Lord may have said to you this morning as we've been sharing the word, if maybe you say, you know, I need to focus more on the purpose for my race. Pastor Les, there's a lot of distractions as I'm heading into school, and I need to eliminate those. I need to do a better job, Les, of reading my map. I need to stop comparing myself to everybody else. I need to focus on Jesus. We're going to pray that over you today. I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to strengthen us today. So I'm going to pray over the students and the kids, and the pastor is going to come and pray over our parents and our teachers and our administrators and everybody else who's so important to the life of our school. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, God, I thank you that you've called us into this race. I thank you, Lord, that every person who stands in this building today at some point in time, Lord, has heard your word. And God, they've been called to pursue you. Thank you for that today, God. And Lord, we want this pursuit of you to be lifelong. And we want you, God, to anoint us and use us on our pursuit. And I pray today over these kids and these students and these college students today that, Lord, you would remind them of their purpose today. Lord, they have purpose in you. They have been created and designed by a divine creator. God, remind them today of their purpose. Those who are seeking and trying to find out what is the reason that they're here beyond loving you and loving their neighbor, that specific part of their lives, reveal that to them, I pray in Jesus' name. I pray today, God, for those who are dealing with distractions. They find themselves distracted from you. They got too much going on. God, help them to be able to look at their lives and decide what they need to do and what they need to take away. God, I pray that you would just illuminate in their minds and their hearts the things that when we leave here that'll come up this week that they'll see as distractions from keeping them from focusing on you. I pray for that for them today. I pray, God, for our kids and our students that they will make a commitment to read the map. They'll make a commitment, Lord, to read your word every day. That, Lord, we will all be reminded of the importance of your word and how it will keep us and protect us from all the landmines and the sand traps and the poisons of this world that are out there that, God, you can keep us from. And, Lord, I pray today that you would help us to keep our eyes off of everybody else. Lord, the comparison game that is all over these students from very young ages up to college, I pray this morning that, God, they would set their minds and their hearts on you. And, Lord, they would begin to live life focused upon who you created them to be and not who their friend is or the person that they ride the bus with or the person in football, that they would look at you and, God, they would design their lives after what you have called them to be. And, God, remind us all today that, God, we can finish the race because you are the ultimate author, perfecter, and finisher of our race. And, God, cover these students in your protection. Touch their minds and their hearts that they will do great and mighty things this year. God, as Josh and Pastor Kevin lead them this school year, may they use the things that they learn to help them be a witness for you. And God, anoint them in their schools this year to be salt and light for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There are two kinds of prayers. There's a God, get me out of this prayer. And God, get me through this is the kind of prayer we got to pray for back to school. God, get me through it. Because God's not going to get you out of it, right? How many parents do we have in here? How many parents? Parents, you are the primary teacher. You are the greatest influencer, and we pray for you first. Kids, I'd like to ask you just to get with your parents if you're not already with them. And regardless of how young or how old you are as a student, would you turn around and just touch your parents' hands? And let's pray for our parents today. Let's pray for mom and dad that God is going to touch and strengthen and encourage them. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the ministry of Christian parenting. I thank you, Father, that you have placed upon us as parents, and these parents especially, the awesome responsibility to be the first influencer, the first teacher, the primary teacher. And Father, I just pray for parents today, first of all, that we would accept that responsibility. We would not abdicate our responsibility, that we would not pass that off to the educators, that, Lord, we would accept that responsibility as parents today, that we've got to do our part. And, Lord, now with that responsibility, we know that you never gave us a responsibility that you don't give us the grace and the empowerment to do that. And I thank you for that grace as parents. Lord, we receive your grace and your strength. We receive your wisdom and your insight. I'm praying, Father, for parents as their children pray for them, that, Father, that you would give parents special insight, that they would accept and understand their child, to train them, to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to train them in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they won't depart from it, to bring that development and that understanding of their gifts and their personalities. And we pray for parents that's not always easy, Father, to do. And we just pray that we would fix our eyes on you and that we would see each of our children in the light of Christ as you see them, as you've purposed their life. We pray, Father, that you would give parents today understanding to affirm. And when their children are hurting, Father, that they would be there to heal and comfort. And when their children feel less than, that they would be there to say, yes, you can. We pray, Father, that you would give parents that encouragement to be that encourager of their children. We pray your blessings now upon the parents. The challenges of our student are great, but so are the challenges of being a parent of a student. And I'm praying for the empowerment and the grace and the knowledge and the courage of the Holy Spirit to rest upon these parents to make wise decisions, to take a stand at times, to discipline at times, but Lord, also to lead the way for their children. Let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that as parents, Father, that they love their children as a reflection of your love. And we'll praise you for that. And thank you for that in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Now we're going to pray for administrators and teachers. And how many, I'm proud of this, how many people do we have as teachers and administrators in our church? Raise your hands. Raise them high. Would you look at the influence that God has in our school system? Would you give God praise for that? I thank Him for that. Also, for those of you that are serving in any way as a bus driver or a lunchroom, cafeteria attendant, would you raise your hand? Just any service. They're looking at your life, and their students are, and they're believing in your care for them. Let's pray for administrators. Just lay your hands on those that raise their hands, those around you, and just begin to pray for our administrators. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we lift up our teachers, our educators, our administrators. We lift up those that drive our children to school and those that serve them, whether it's their meals or in any janitorial capacity as a coach, whatever, Father, that their capacity is, we thank you that you have placed in their heart, especially, Lord, those that are the educators here. They've chosen a career to give back. They didn't choose a selfish career just to make a lot of money. But, Father, they chose a career, Father, to give back to those that need the guidance and the wisdom and the direction. I'm praying that, Lord, you are going to give our educators, our administrators, ability beyond their ability, wisdom beyond their ability. That, Father, not just that they would impart the knowledge that these kids need, but they would Lord, impart wisdom, that they would make good choices in life, and that they would choose the right path, the path that Christ, you've marked out before us. I pray for our teachers, Lord, in the challenges that they have of separation of church and state, and the challenges that they have today to be careful how they speak to children. In the name of the Lord, we come against any fear. We come against any trepidation, that they would not do their jobs, that they would not do their jobs with courage, with confidence. But I'm praying that a God called confidence would come upon them, just like the three Hebrew children had, and just like Daniel had, and others in your word. They stood up in a culture that said, sometimes you can't. Lord, we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're praying, Father, for again, for ability and wisdom as they lead our children, as they lead our students. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the wisdom that you're imparting to teachers today as we pray over them. Anointing, yes, and their God-called gifting to invest in the lives of our students, that you have invested them. Above all, may they be an example of Jesus Christ, of love, of discipline, of caring about these kids' souls and lives in eternity. And we'll thank you for it and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give God a praise offering today for the message, for the Spirit of God that's here. God bless you is our prayer. Children, be sure you get your stuff on the way out. Special gift for you. God bless you. Love you. See you Wednesday night.